All right, Sunday morning, 7/7/24. This is a teaching, and the title is Author and Finisher. This is Hebrews 12:2. Author and Finisher. This is going to go right along with the word I just brought. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Author means a chief leader here. Finisher means completeness. What does that sound like to you? He started it. And he will finish it. Everything that pertains to you and what you're going through, he started it. He has authored it, and he will finish it. Okay, go to Philippians 1:6. He gives us a guarantee. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What's perform mean? It means fulfill further or completely, execute, to terminate, or to undergo. He has an obligation to perform it in your behalf as the author and the finisher of your faith. I really want you to think about what I'm saying here today. All right, go to Romans 8:14. Do have a few scriptures, but for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Is the walk of faith by the Holy Spirit? Is it by the Holy Spirit? Then if you're not walking by the Holy Spirit in this journey, you've already missed it. You've already missed the mark. This isn't by the flesh. This isn't by our rotes. I don't care who wrote the books. This is not by rotes. This is not by Christian rosaries. It's not formats that we speak and say to get the thing done. Jesus is the author and finisher. He has the plan, if you will get it. If you will not run away in fear. If you will find out what he has for you in his plan for you. What steps he would have you take. He has orchestrated the whole thing. Think about a book. He's authored your whole story. It all lays out, and he has a plan, a detailed plan for every step. Lord spoke to me something this morning. When we take it into our own hands to try, well, let me just read a scripture to you, and it'll explain everything. This is Revelation. See if I can find it here. I think it's chapter 3 of Revelation where it talks about the open door.
Yes, that's where it's at.
All right. This is good. Verse 20 here. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. He has a plan. He wants to let you know that plan. His good plan. Let me see if I can find the other part of that about the door. Do you know where that is, Danny? I should have wrote it down.
Verse 7.
Okay.
And 8.
And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia, write these sayings. Things saith, he that is holy, he that is true, and he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. God is the one that opens the door. And for you to try to get in to open a door, that's evil. You're going to be deceived. If you try to open those doors that God has shut, you will be deceived. You've probably already been deceived that way before. The enemy knows. God opens the doors that no man can shut. But man doesn't open the door that God has shut. He started this. He's laid out a detailed plan for your life and everything that you will face, every giant that you will face, he has a plan. But for you to try to do it in your flesh, it doesn't operate that way. It can't operate that way. So much time has been spent, wasted on just fleshly works to try to get a result, and it just doesn't happen. It just leaves you frustrated, and you go away ready to give up. But if you wait on the author and the finisher, and you get the plan from him, and you get what he says do in this journey that you're on, you won't fail. You won't get frustrated. You won't give up. Are y'all getting that? Mm-hmm. All right. We are spending and wasting so much time with confessions, etc., trying to get something to change. I've done all I know to do. How many times have you heard that? I've done all I know to do. Well, have you asked God about it? Well, no. Wiggling and wiggling, trying to get out from under the flame, out of the fire. Twisting and turning and everything you know to do. Looking here, looking there, sending out millions of resumes or whatever. Just the fleshly works of men to try to get out from under what God is doing. And then all he's asking you to do is find out from me. I am the author of this story, your story. And he's already said he will complete it in us. If we'll work with him and walk with him, trust him to tell us what to do when we don't know what to do. Instead of just doing something, trying over there, trying to kick down all these doors that are just sealed shut and they ain't coming open. All right. Are we all just a bunch of worry warts? Most people, they're just worry warts. Well, I've been standing for a whole week. I'm still standing on a promise God spoke 26 years ago. Thank you very much. And no matter what I did or tried to do, that door never opened. And it won't until the Lord opens the door. Your gift will make room for you and you will stand before great men. But if there's no room for you, there is no room. And for you to try to crowd yourself in there, you're looking to destroy yourself. You think it's hard now where you're at? Just keep walking in the flesh. Woo, you talk about hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. That's what the scripture says. Oh, it's so hard to be a Christian. No, it isn't. Not when you know how to be one. But if you're trying to make it on your own, we can't. That's why we had to have a Savior, because we couldn't make it on our own. All we do is make messes. Okay. Matthew 6. Danny sang that song, "More of You and Less of Me." And the Lord said, finally, more of you. More of you, less of me. Get out of the way, fool. That's what you just got to say. Get out of the way. Are you walking in the way? Get out of the way. All right. Matthew 6. 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Do not ye therefore like unto them, or be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before ye ask him. He already knows. He already knows. All right, verse 33. Not reading the whole thing, so don't get nervous. 33 and 34. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things. What things? The things that you're so upset about. The things that make you drag around like an old rag mop. That's the things he's talking about right here. All these things that you're fretting about. Because you're not seeing change. All these things, right here, all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, take no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. To even consider where you are in God or anything like that, and you, like we talked about Wednesday night, about the condemnation that we go through thinking we ought to be further along. We ought to be doing better than this. It ought not be like this. Well, who are you asking? If you're asking yourself, the flesh is going to say, well, you're a sorry old so-and-so. But not the author and finisher. He says you're a giant killer. He says you're more than a conqueror through him. He's not wanting you to be brave in your own, or conqueror on your own, standing in your own might. No, it's in him or through him. Jesus is the one that is overseeing our faith. He has a plan for your situation if you will allow him to. He will be with you and show you what to do every step of the way. What do you think the Faith Hall of Fame was all about? By faith, they did these things. God had a plan, and he worked the plan. They got in line with his plan. Let's go over there, and we're going to look at that. Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Isn't that our goal? To obtain a good report by faith. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his transition or translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. How did he please God? But without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. He was concerned about his house because it was so evil. Everything was so evil. It said every thought of man was continually evil. Every thought evil. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. What did he get? Where did he get the plan from? God. Down to the last cubic. Down to the last pairs of animals. Detailed. God knows every detail of your life, what you need, what you lack, what you're believing him for, what you're struggling with. He knows. And he has a plan. Just like he did for Noah, to save him and his family from this horrible. Well, we got a little taste of it in this world. Whereas in the days of Noah. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should offer, received for inheritance, obeyed. And when he went out, not knowing whither he went, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. He was looking for a heavenly city. He wasn't looking for land. He was looking for God. Through faith also herself Sarah received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. God had a plan for a 90-year-old woman to have a baby. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You get the gist of what I'm saying here. Everyone in this Faith Hall of Fame, they're there because they believe God, and God performed it. God did it. They left a legacy of faith. All right. This is a documentation of their journey of faith. And I believe we'll be added to this, because that's what we're doing. We have our walk of faith. God knows all. He sees all. He began it and he'll finish it. All right. Jesus has made a commitment to you to see that you do not fail or fall. He's told us that on several occasions. I'm not going to let you fall. I'm not going to let you fail. We must relinquish control, though. Flesh control, that is, to allow him to be the author and finisher for us. If you're upset all the time, then you're not on board with his plan for you, evidently. So you might want to take a step back and see, how is my attitude about this? I'm not saying it's fun. I'm not saying it's not hard on the flesh, because it most certainly is. I know firsthand. All right. But he has made a commitment to us to see it from the beginning till the end and give us the words that we need as we need them for each step. All right. We have worn ourselves out trying to figure everything out, and that's a shame that we've wasted a lot of time doing these kind of things when we didn't have to. All the fretting, the crying, and all the stuff, being depressed, when we didn't have to. I hope from this way forward that you will reconsider how you look at what you're going through. And whenever you realize who's in charge and who has orchestrated this plan for you, and that he's there to answer you when you call out to him about it. I believe that. All right. I will use myself as an example. This week, the Lord spoke to me two things to do. Well, I did three things. Well, the third thing backfired. The other two worked out. I'm not going to tell you what it is, so don't look at me like that. I have to keep you guessing. But see, that's the point. Jesus' mother was very perceptive. We're going to look at her little story here. This is John chapter 2. From now on, you say, Lord, you're the author and finisher of my faith. You're the ones in charge here. So, what would you have me do? If he doesn't say anything, don't do anything. If he doesn't tell you to say something, don't say anything. If he tells you to do something, do it. If he tells you to say something, then say it. It'll work. All right, verse 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour's not yet come. In other words, he didn't have nothing. He said, woman, I can't do nothing. I ain't got nothing. Well, maybe I ought to go over there and read Brother Hagin's, you know, God's Medicine. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, because it's always good to renew your mind with the Word of God, but do we just grab something to try to fill in the blanks? God's not speaking, so I guess I'll just go work my work here. His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there six water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. He got something. And they filled them up to the rim. Jesus walked out his story with Father telling him what to do. He said, I don't do anything independent of my Father. It's the Father and me doing the works. He tells me what to do, and then I do it. There's no difference between you and your author and finisher of your faith. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. And saith unto him, every man of the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. See, God don't make no junk. Anything that comes from God is good. It's going to be the best. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Whatever he says to you, do it. We're going to look at the Gospels and look at some of the things that Jesus told people to do. John chapter 5. We're going to start with verse 1 there. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the trouble in the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. A certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto them, Wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered him and said, Sir, I have no one when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. And Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. Immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. And he answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. So what did he tell him? Rise up and walk. Then he said, Sin no more. That's it. That's what he told him. That's it. All right. Rise up, take up thy bed and walk. Sin no more. Is it enough for you if Jesus has one word to say to you? Or one little action to say to you or for you to do? That's what we need to be waiting on. Instead of wearing ourselves out trying to pray enough, read the word enough, confess enough, be good enough to receive. It has nothing to do with any of that. It has to do with whatever he says to you, do it. But just like Jesus with this man, there's thousands of infirm people laying here. He goes to one man. See, he's doing that. His father's telling him, you go minister to that one. All right, John 21. When you walk in the flesh, you do not... walk in the Spirit so you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Listening to Jesus and what he says is walking in the Spirit in your particular situation. All right, 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith to them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. This is what they did before Jesus called them. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. They're just doing their works. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. I think there was 153 fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon in bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153 for all. There were so many, yet was not the net broken. He didn't just provide lunch. Probably provided the whole month for all of them. They caught nothing, but by Jesus' word, they caught 153 fish. doing their own work. They caught nothing. You worried about money? How are you going to pay your taxes? Go to Matthew 17. Verse 24. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, "Doth not your master pay tribute?" He saith, "Yes." And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, "What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers?" Peter saith unto him, "Of strangers." Jesus saith unto him, "Then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. Take hold and give it unto them for me and thee." Taxes solved. Waiting on that word from Jesus. Not doing anything until you hear that word or you hear instruction. Stop wearing yourself out. It's not good for you to do that. Really, it's fear. It's rooted in fear. All these works are rooted in fear. Trying to do stuff for yourself because God's not doing anything. What am I going to do? He knows. And if you'll act properly, then He will act. And it won't be too late. I can vouch for that. It won't be too late. He'll be just on time. Because He already knows what you need before you even ask, right? Okay, are y'all getting it? I hope you're getting what I'm saying today. All right, Luke 11. Verse 9. "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" He's not going to let you go without, especially when you follow His plan. Why are you spending so much time trying to figure it out? He already has it all figured out. He knows the end from the beginning. All right, go to Luke 17. I didn't pick every story, but I picked quite a few to prove the point or how the Lord put it to me. Starting with verse 12 there. "And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. It came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. The others obeyed. They went to show themselves to the priest, but it stopped the progression of the disease. But this man was made whole as if he had never had anything wrong with him. The walk of faith is not a walk of flesh. It's not by your works. Alpha and Omega, that is his name and that is his game. This is Revelation 1:8, the first part. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. All right, let's keep it in perspective. All right, go to Luke 5. Did I read Luke 5 all ago? Do you remember? Did I? Okay. All right, start with verse 1 there, Luke 5. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, washing their nets. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he should thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Peter wanted to argue a little bit. We've been out there all night long. There ain't nothing out there. But nevertheless, it's your word. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. Like Charles Capps used to say, a net breaking boatload of fish. At Jesus' word. It just takes one word. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ship to land, they forsook all and followed him. I think so. Yeah. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. Immediately the leprosy departed from him. He charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. What did Jesus say to the cripple? Well, he said, your sins are forgiven. Rise up, take your couch, and go to your house. Yeah. All right, Luke chapter 8. I'll start with 22 there. Instead of looking at the gospel as before that, think about the gospel today. These things come to life when you start putting them in the right perspective to how Jesus walked. We're to walk like Jesus walked, aren't we? All right, 8:22. Let your yea be yea and your nay nay instead of all this in-between stuff, all this much ado about nothing. Jacking your jaws, always getting off on things and saying things and just silliness, just to carry on a conversation. Well, I don't like to brouhaha very much anymore. I don't talk to even my kids much anymore because I don't want to get into it. I don't have anything to say. I don't want to say anything about it. I don't want to hear nothing. Don't drag me down those roads you go. I don't want to go there. I've been there many years ago. I don't want to go again. Not to be rude. But you become a person of few words when you realize how powerful your words are, because Jesus is going to be having us do this to other people. Somebody wants you to come and pray for them, and you may have one simple thing. go do this. Or get up. All right. This is chapter 8, verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over to the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the waves, and they obey him. You know, if we get pure in our words and we just speak what Jesus tells us to speak or do what Jesus said to do, God could trust us with this. Speak to that weather warfare and tell it to stop. But if we're all full of mixture and all half in the flesh most of the time and every once in a while we get in the spirit, you can't use that. There ain't going to be no power behind that. All right, verse 49, that same chapter. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the root of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. When he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, the father and mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. In another account, Jesus says, give her some food. In other words, treat her well. Don't you coddle her. She'll lapse back into that, and she'll die. He told dead people to get out, get up, like Lazarus and like this little girl. Okay, John 11, that's about Lazarus. Jesus didn't just hightail it down there to see Lazarus either. He waited to hear. This is one of the best stories I know of about Jesus. We can't let emotions and what people think and what people say move us. Because it doesn't matter what they say or what they do. It matters what Jesus says. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sister said unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. What would be the first inclination, your dear friend? Run to their side, right? When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples saying to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goeth thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us go also, that we may die with him. I don't know how he ever did it with that bunch. Then Jesus, when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, if thou had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. What kind of friend are you? You do miracles all over the place and you didn't even show up for his funeral. What you gonna do? But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary's sister secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet and saith unto him, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. It's your fault, Jesus. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Here we go again. Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a grave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha's sister of him that was dead saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Boy, you talk about flesh. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? All you're thinking about is get the pine saw and clean this stinky mess up. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. That's all he said. I'm telling you, he had all kinds of unbelief all around him, trying to get him to fall into the emotional boo-hooing bunch. Lazarus, come forth, loose him and let him go. From now on, the only action that's required of you concerning your faith is whatever he tells you to do, do it. Nothing more and nothing less. Your life ought to be a lot more simple after this. All right.